Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Are you listening to this episode on Himalaya? If you are, congratulations, because you're already using the best new podcast app out there. If you're not, well, you're a loser and missing out. So get it together. Whether you're a podcaster or a fan, Himalaya is designed with you in mind and has a ton of cool new features like curated shareable playlists and collections made just for you, along with personalized recommendations to help with content discovery. And the best part is, it's super easy to use. It's definitely my favorite listening app, and I'm sure it will be yours too. So do yourself a favor and download Himalaya today, and be sure to follow my show, Worst Firsts, once you're there. Bye. Guys, welcome back to the Worst First Podcast.
Yay!
I have more than one other. Oh, exactly, right? I know. Congratulations. It's cool. Nina's so into it. That just killed everyone's eardrums. They're all like, Jesus Christ. I got my headphones in. I got my ear pods. I have two amazing guests today who I love and have loved for a very long time, and they've always been so nice to me, even when everyone was giving me shit at times in my life. So I'm so grateful to have these two wonderful, funny ladies here today. We have Miss Grace Helbig and Mamrie Hart.
Yay!
Oh my word!
I love the that ultimate Nina is duo. Sitting like a pro.
She's a pro. Oh, she'll take over the interview halfway through. She'll be like, "Excuse me, I have some questions."
I'm obsessed with this tiny Barbara Walters.
She's dead. That's who she is.
Truly regal.
She is regal looking, right?
I mean, yeah. She's looking you
straight
into your
into the soul.
She will look right into your soul.
You guys, if we switch bodies halfway through this podcast, if I just start barking and then Nina starts like
licking her jokes own about vagina.
It's like that weird like Jamie Lee Curtis, Lindsay Lohan movie, except
totally.
You and my dog.
Yeah.
Freaky
Let's
Friday,
make that. Baby.
I love that. Yeah.
I'm into it.
I love
it.
That. No, her name, the name of her breed too is like so, it's like so snobby. She's like an English cream. Oh. Miniature long-haired dachshund.
Oh, pardon wow. me like, down, Knabby. Are you late for the premiere?
Right? Like, calm the fuck down. Like, when I got her, the lady was like, she's an English cream.
More names.
Short dachshund. I'm like, Jesus.
She's right. A hemophiliac.
Yeah.
Years of breeding within our own lineage.
I swear they just, like, make shit up about these dogs. They're like, it's just purely inbred is what we should call it. Yeah,
absolutely.
We just bred her until she was cute. And who knows what's going on in
you
here.
You never know. My friend Beth has, like, a floof. A total floof dog.
Really?
And she did the 23andMe of dogging, and they were like, she's a pit bull. She was like,
why does it look like a cocker spaniel? Dead. Oh my god. Yeah. Well, you know, that's a waste of money. Don't go waste your money on the 23andMe for dogs. Yeah, no, she's very human, this dog. Like,
I
very human, very emotional.
Yeah, you can tell. Yeah, she's already picking up on energies.
Yeah,
she is.
She's like, y'all can take it down 12 notches. No, I'm so excited to have you guys here. You know, the premise of the podcast is just talking about crazy shit that's happened to you. Worst first, the worst shit. that's happened to you in your life.
Oh, Lord.
But in a funny way, you know?
Of course.
Like, not like
it's
in a
like
dramatic.
It must be very therapeutic for it people is. To come in and just sort of.
Sometimes it is, and then sometimes they're like, I wish I didn't recall that memory. Thanks for making me remember that.
I feel like that happens every week on Grace and I's podcast because we talk about stuff in real time, and then it's like, oh, in retrospect, maybe I shouldn't have.
You just get emails later. Can you guys delete the whole podcast?
Right.
Like, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
So you guys wanted to talk about the first time you met.
Well, yeah. Grace and I have known each other, I guess, I always throw out a number, 12 years?
Something like that.
That's
like
a long time. That's a child.
Yeah, absolutely.
A tween. Like a, that's
yeah,
a full
like
tween.
With an attitude.
Yeah.
Our friendship has an attitude. We're in an angsty phase.
Yeah.
No, but we met in New York. We were put on a sketch team together.
You were in New York?
Yeah.
I didn't know you guys started in New York. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I
we lived in New York for, you were there for what?
8 years.
8 years. Whoa. I was there for five and came out here. Totally, yeah. And we were part of this like a comedy theater that had like kind of put all these random people on a sketch comedy team together.
Wow.
And we were two people dropped out from that team, I think, and then we were the replacements.
Yeah. For
we
sure.
Backup. They're like, I guess we'll take those two fucking weirdos.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, but we went to our first rehearsal and I was super fucking nervous because Grace was doing improv at the theater. I only knew one person and then I was being put on this team and we were, of course, rehearsing in the basement of a bar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's
just
the
crunch.
High quality improv of everywhere.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
we thought we had made it.
Yeah, absolutely. We get 15% off mozzarella sticks, bitch. Like, we're done.
Oh, and we might have asbestos poisoning, but it's worth it.
For sure. Got
you
some
guys
rashes.
Are part of those mesothelioma commercials. Like, hi, I'm Grace. I'm Mamrie. Have you ever been exposed to mesothelioma?
Did you rehearse in the basement of the Triple Crown from the years 2007 to 2012? We have
you're
a lawsuit that you could
entitled
win.
To a
that's your guys' newcomer. I've seen them everywhere. You guys are killing it.
My vaginal mesh fell out immediately. What is a vaginal mesh?
My God.
And why was
what
it like
is it?
So such a hot button lawsuit for a minute there?
Wow,
a
I didn't know.
A vaginal mesh?
I thought that was a drag queen.
I never heard of a vaginal mesh.
Sorry, I see a lot of those commercials. That's
I love
like,
that. I love that.
It's about vaginal meshes.
I gotta look
and
into
I'm
that.
Always confused.
Okay, now I'm going to see them everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
But anyway, we met there, and I was really nervous. But of course, Grace is nice, and everyone was nice. And then they pull out the first sketch. That's called Everyone Loves Grace.
I didn't write it. I didn't write it. I didn't,
you just slid it in. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. You slid it in there.
I'm there also at the first rehearsal going, no, I don't like this either.
So we start to read through it, and it's all of us playing ourselves in this sketch. And the basic premise is that we're at a meeting and everyone's pitching sketches to do. And all the guys are pitching sketches that end up with them making out with Grace.
Yeah.
And every time I try to speak, they tell me to shut up.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
This is both of our first time on this team that's already been together. And we're both like, the
hi,
fuck?
It's nice
like,
to so meet every, you.
Mamrie's like, everyone hates me and everyone wants to fuck you. So this is like
literally,
a weird.
The sketch is called Everyone Loves Grace, in parentheses, everyone hates Mamrie.
Was it really?
Yes, and that's the first sketch we read.
Oh my God.
And so it's just people being like, so yeah, I was thinking we could do a sketch where like I play a robot who needs mouth to mouth and then Grace and then every time I open my mouth they're just like, not now,
yeah,
Mamrie.
They're like, shut up, God. Oh my God.
I remember, I don't know if you remember this, at the end of the sketch, you pitch one and you go, I have an idea, and the premise is just Oprah farts. And they're like, we love it.
Yeah, it was the dumbest idea to the point that it made me seem like I was handicapped in some way.
They're like, I don't want to make out with her anymore. Can we change?
I mean, but if that's not a perfect representation of comedy for women in 2008, it's like, how do we make out with you and then you act dumb and we'll act like we love it?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. The dumber you are, the better.
100 Well, you know, from Vine.
Yeah, of course. Well, fuck, I wonder that. And now TikTok.
Are you on TikTok?
Okay, I have 400,000 followers on TikTok.
Stop it.
And I can't get into my profile. And I wrote to them and I wrote to all these people because I have like 4 TikToks on there. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll play around on it again. They will not get back to me.
I know the head of TikTok.
You do?
And she's
it's
not
my
joking.
Ex-agent's wife.
Okay, you need to get, I need to get her info. Because I'm like, I can't get into
sentence.
My freaking profile. I'm like, I mean, I shouldn't probably be involved, but.
I've been blocked out of Postmates for 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy's having problems with that too.
Okay, well, if he finds out who the wife is that is running Postmates, let me
does
know.
Anyone know who the wife of Mrs. Postmates is?
Yeah.
Do
right?
you know who she is?
I know. You got to Uber Eats. It's sad.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a sad
Tommy,
scene.
Tommy goes to place orders on there and they're like, no, nope, sorry, denied. I'm like, what did you do? Try to finger the Postmates guy? Like, you're like a predator on Postmates.
I feel like, have you ever ordered Postmates when you're drunk, gone to sleep, they show up, you don't answer the door? Because I feel like that can be a way you get blocked.
Have you done that?
I have not done that.
I mean, I've not done that in a solid decade. When before there were apps.
Last
when
week.
You had to like call and order it.
Yeah.
But that's a way to get blocked.
I haven't done that. No, it was just that I ordered way too much Postmates at a period in my life. And then my credit card company asked me about some potential fraudulent purchases. And I didn't know what they were.
They're like, did you order this tampons and tequila at 3 a.m. on
a Postmates? They didn't come up as Postmates. And I was like, yeah, I don't have no idea. Like, genuinely, I have no idea. And then in hindsight, I was like, those were all my Postmates orders. And so now I've been locked out of the app for like 3 years.
They're like, just cut her off. Just cut her off.
Absolutely. We had this game.
Wait, so you guys did that sketch. You ended up doing that. Everyone loves the Grace sketch.
Yeah.
How did it do?
It ended with Mamrie under a table coming out from the tablecloth and going like, what about me, guys? And people be like, shoo, Mamrie.
Like, truly, this was like, hey, it's nice to meet everyone. So who wrote this sketch without ever having met me?
Oh,
it was insane.
God.
We got our vengeance.
Yeah, we did that.
We left.
Did a lot of people show up to these shows?
No, we would be more
begging.
People on stage than actual audience members. I remember there was a point where all of us had to sit, many points where all of us had to sit in the audience because
if
that would even
out. Sketch, if you weren't in the sketch, you went and sat in the
really?
Audience.
Yeah, it was an average of like 5 to 30 people.
Well, 30 would be our opening night.
Yeah. With all of our friends and family doing favors.
And it was just all your friends and family. It wasn't like
Absolutely.
Some random people like, this group is great. I've gotten the word on the town.
No.
What was the name of it again?
Finger.
There was, oh my God.
It was
there
a word finger?
It was the word finger with an umlaut.
We thought it was very funny for the way children pronounce the word finger. So
you're like going
fingal.
Out to families on the street. Hey,
hey,
want to
come
see
get
finger?
Yeah,
come get finger. They're like, my son is 4. Please get away from us.
We thought it was
totally.
Great. There were so many ridiculous sketches. Yeah, Mamrie and I's first sketch that we ever did together mm-hmm. was called Party Starters.
Yep.
Was that what it was?
We played Mitts and Fits.
Yeah.
And we were like those girls that get hired to start parties. So the first one's pretty normal. But then the next one, we're in an elevator. And the next one, we're at a funeral.
We're
it
starting
was just
parties
some top
everywhere.
Comedy.
Time to start party. Yeah. Oh,
oh
my God.
God.
See, she's coming over.
Your dog is coming over.
That's what Cesar Millan taught me, that he's like, if you ignore the dog, they will come to you and then you reward their curiosity by being nice. He's like, don't make eye contact.
That's
what Chip says. Yeah. Treat them mean, keep them keen.
Right? I got to be meaner to my husband. Jesus Christ. I love it. Treat them mean,
keep them keen. I was like, treat them nice. They're there for life. Like, I'm always the angel to the devil.
And then you
on
realize later how nice and life don't rhyme, and you're like, wow,
yeah,
that didn't work out. Yeah.
You didn't notice.
That's crazy. Okay, so you guys did all these sketches, and then you were in New York City, and then what happened? You both decided to come to here together, LA?
No, the sketch team kind of dissolved eventually.
Shocking.
I think the theater realized that we weren't bringing in the bucks for them.
Finger didn't make it?
Our dreams of SNL, like celebridom, went down the tubes. And then like a year later or so, we realized that we lived together. Or not together.
We realized, hey, you're my roommate. That's
this is
crazy.
Worst first roommate.
Yeah.
I was just in the closet.
It's the pilot that we're pitching right now.
I'm still under the sheet.
Oh my God. You've been living together for 4 years. She just realizes it.
Totally.
I was like, oh, someone's been paying half of the rent. I had no idea.
No clue. Sugar dads.
That we live close to each other in Brooklyn and that both of us had non-traditional jobs, I guess. Mm-hmm. That, like, basically,
what were your jobs?
I was a bartender.
Oh,
I was
cool.
Making mm-hmm. web videos for this comedy
Porn
and music.
Hub.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I wish. I would have had much better money stored.
I wish I could have been a stream cam girl.
Dude, those girls make bank.
But like the ones that they just want to like watch you live. You know, I'm not going to like put my cooter up there, but yeah, I'd mukbang.
I know a couple girls who do it, but they, you know, they masturbate and stuff on the camera, but they make like $500 a day.
Mm-hmm.
If you got like a cute little body, I mean, for working 2 hours.
Oh, that's
they don't work all day.
That's
they'll work for like 2 hours and make $500 and be like, whatever.
And now
is there like a, do you have to diddle your skittle a certain amount of times per week?
I mean, I think the more you diddle, the more money you make. You know what I mean? Like, you got to diddle to get
the,
that's like the more coins. Yeah,
totally.
It's like Sonic the Hedgehog. You just got to,
you guys, that movie looks
crazy.
So bad. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy. Jesus.
Wait, so what are some of the other firsts people have told you about?
Just crazy shit. Just anything crazy that's happened. I mean, you guys lived in New York City. I'm sure you've seen some insane stuff. Like, I mean, crazy.
I feel like it's all been pushed deep down because you see insane stuff all the time, constantly.
What about a really bad date? Yeah.
A really bad date.
Either of you have been on where you were just like, get me the fuck out of here.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm
always, I know you've been
I'm
on
really
bad dates.
Good at going on a date and then just making them my boyfriend.
Yeah. I think we're both serial monogamous daters.
Getting married after the first date.
I mean, truly.
Yeah, I don't think either one of us have done
that. You've never had a date where you were on a date with a guy and you were like, this guy is whack.
No, I don't date.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
Because it's usually, I don't put myself out there in that, like, I'm going to meet a stranger tonight and see what happens.
However, okay, no.
Which makes us probably the weirdos in this
situation. The first time I brought someone home in New York. Oh, God. Okay, I should have known this was going to be bad. So they had, like.
We love it.
They had, like, a zombie crawl. You know, like, before SantaCon, there was, like, ZombieCon or something like that.
I don't even know about these things.
So it's like a bar crawl, but you're all dressed as zombies?
Everyone's dressed as zombies. So I was as myself. An adorable girl, but with like a bullet hole in the middle of my head, you know, right, right. 2005. And I brought a guy home that night, which I should have known, like, he's into this bullet hole.
Yeah. He's like loving it. He's like fantasizing.
Not the best. This was also when I moved to New York and I had zero fucking money. Mm-hmm. And so the first like 2 months I lived there, I had a duffel bag of clothes and I brought an air mattress and I had a hole in it. So literally my sleeping arrangements was an air mattress like folded in half.
Stop.
And I still brought someone home.
And you slept on it on the
floor? And I still brought someone home. like from Manhattan to Brooklyn. So this guy was thirsty.
He was dedicated. And also, you had a home. So that's impressive enough.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
And so then, you met him on the zombie crawl.
On the zombie crawl in the East Village. And then we went all the way back to my neighborhood in Brooklyn to my folded up air mattress.
Oh, my God.
Right? We didn't like seal the deal, but you know, we messed around. I don't know if I left the bullet hole on or not.
Oh, my God. He's like, do you have any more you can put on?
Truly.
Yeah. Maybe some in the torso. I could go get my shotgun if you want. Oh my gosh.
So the next morning, I was like, oh, here we go. And I had to go to work in Manhattan. And there's nothing worse than when you have like a hookup or something and then they're like, oh, I'm going that way. Why don't we just go? Like, I want to pretend this never happened.
That
not like have a 45-minute commute on a subway with you.
And you didn't like him, right? You woke up the next day and were like...
He was like cute. He was like edgy, kind of punk.
Yeah.
And then we got on the train to go to... to go to Manhattan and it's like, oh, this is awkward. And like, can everyone notice that we're like walk of shaming together?
Did you guys still have your zombie shit on? Or
no, I washed my face.
But still, for New Yorkers, that seemed totally normal if
totally.
You did.
Totally. Yeah. I washed my face and then I realized like I didn't know this person's name at all, right?
You didn't remember his name?
I didn't remember his name. I was wasted face. And so he said something about my name and I pronounced it and I was like, yo, where does your name come from? And he was like, oh, I just changed it.
He's like, it's Greg.
Yeah.
It's Spider.
No. I just changed it. It's Spider.
His name was Spider.
And you couldn't remember that from the night before?
No.
Spider.
I met him in a loud bar. So I was trying to like, oh, cool, Steve.
Yeah. Sounds great, Sean. My place is down the street.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so Spider, who is into bullet holes.
Wow. Spider.
Where is Spider now?
What is he doing?
He tried to like stick his wiener in your bullet hole. You're like, oh, it's not real. Back up, dude. Okay, that's a weird one.
Yeah.
That's really fucking weird.
So that's not like a first date, but it was definitely like the first time I hooked up with someone in New York and then was like, I need to be more careful.
Just letting him into your house. I know. Yeah, that's how we think. We think it's okay to just let people come home with us, but it's very
crazy.
Scary. Yeah, yeah. You live by yourself too, didn't you? Or no?
No, in New York, I lived with a couple roommates.
Okay, you're like seven people.
Yeah.
So if anything happened, I had backup, but still.
Exactly.
That's still scary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
I don't like it.
Meanwhile, Grace is like, the wheels are spinning. She's like, I don't think I've ever had a bad date.
No, the only one I think about is the one in Ireland. That was like the worst morning after situation.
Oh, God.
You hooked up with an Irish dude?
Yeah. Mamrie wrote about it in her book. But yeah, we were both single at the same time, went on
which is like
never
truly
happened.
Like a harvest moon during an eclipse.
Because you both seem like you always have boyfriends.
We're very long-term boyfriend, like commitment people. And so it was very rare that both of us at that same time were like,
let's fucking do it.
Like, it was the first time I was single in 10 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was like ready to rock.
And I don't need
your vagina was like, let's rock.
Total.
Let's go.
Oh my
god.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god. I could hear it just screaming out loud.
Let's go to fucking Europe. Yeah. I like Irish boys. Oh my god.
We were doing some shows in the UK.
Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah.
You guys go to the UK and do shows.
It was super, super fun. And we went mostly because we were single and bored and didn't want to go home for Thanksgiving.
We were single, bored, didn't want to go home for Thanksgiving. Trump just got elected.
Yeah. So we were like, getting the fuck out of the country. Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot of factors. And then we went and did shows in London and Dublin. And our last show in Dublin, we had done shows there before, and I didn't go out like the night when we did shows there before. So Mamer was like, come out this time.
We're going out.
Yeah. There's a bar next to the hotel that's really cool. And so I was like, okay, I'll come have like a beer and we'll like go to bed early because we have to get on the plane in the morning.
Like someone was picking us up at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And so then we get there and we realize there's lots of like...
Colin Farrell types sitting around.
They look like...
My gosh, my lady. Yeah. Can I get you a beer, my lady?
But that's what they look
you
like.
You just lost all your Irish listeners.
Horrible. Horrible. All my Irish audience just unsubscribed, blocked, reported.
Totally. Yeah. Email TikTok. Yeah, said, don't let her back
don't
in.
Don't let her back in. Fuck her. I hate her guts. Yeah.
They all looked like that in the haze that was probably
the four Corona lights.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just see, we were going nuts, and then
but there were two boys who were hitting on us.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There were two men who were hitting on us who were like, we talked to them. They were like, we're in investing. We work for like, it was like, let's say Dutch Bank or whatever. They're in business for one night, and we're talking and we're like buying shots and having a good time. And this girl across the way is like giving an evil, like a little evil look.
Scowls.
And then they're like, oh, that's one of our like coworkers.
Yeah.
We're going to go say hey to her. And then he comes back and they're like, oh, they're so boring, like all this stuff. And then he says something and it tips me off and I go, wait, where'd you say you work again? And he says a different bank.
Yeah. And Mamrie clocked it immediately.
And they were lying.
I clocked it immediately and I went, you guys are completely full of shit.
You guys are fucking goat herders. Don't lie to us.
And now we just bought you guys shots.
Now, meanwhile, the whole time there's been this really hot bartender that's been serving us.
You're giving him a lot of credit.
Okay, well, in the face of the night, 18 Guinnesses in, who's been like, okay, girl, like kind of like smiling at Grace and like watching the scene and then fucking loved it when I was like, you guys are totally full
lying.
Of shit, like blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they didn't even try to deny it. They just looked at each other and they were like, well,
caught.
We're caught.
Fully caught. And
what
it was
did they
like,
do for a living?
They were just like idiots.
They were dumb. Like they probably did something similar, but for some reason they tried to like make
like,
it sound cooler.
They were like, we're investment bankers here for one
night. They
were
probably interns at some
Bank
company.
Bank of America. They were like, starting day. This is our trip.
They just got their first debit
Bank
card.
Of America
so
trip.
They were like, we're investing.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. So then the bartender kept giving us like free drinks after that to be like, you guys have been through it. I'm watching this happen. This is very funny.
Uh-huh.
So now we're all in it with each other, like on understanding how ridiculous this
also,
is.
Also, I went up to the girls that he was talking shit about and said, oh, by the way, he said all of you are boring.
What did they do?
They were like, thank
away.
You.
They were
like, thank you for letting us know.
We are boring. We know. Dead.
So nuts. So then the bartender seemed really cool. And by the end of the night, he came back to my room.
No. He left mid shift.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he quit his job to fuck you. He's like, yeah, I'm out of here. It's only time I'm getting American pussy.
I'm getting lucky.
Dead.
He asked his boss if it was okay to leave. And meanwhile, we're also like telling his boss, you should let him leave.
Oh,
you should
my
let
God.
So then he leaves. And then I look at the boss. And I go, you want to come with me? And then the boss left, and like there was no one there operating the bar. They said to the bar back, they were like,
this is like the biggest riot in Ireland, all because of you guys. Like the bar got closed down. There was a fucking riot.
The bar stayed open. I think it's just like, you know.
They were both, but they just both
free beer
out.
For everybody that night because of you.
Out.
Oh my
out.
God.
Yeah, then. He came
Did
over.
Did that guy fall in love with you or something?
No, here's what happened.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so I wake up and I wake up like on time with text from Mamer being like, I'll meet you downstairs in the lobby. And meanwhile, this guy won't leave. I'm giving like all of the hints of like, I'm packing up my stuff. Like, it's time to go.
You're all making the bed with him in it. You're like, well, gotta,
and he's,
gotta get these pillows.
Yeah,
fluffed.
Exactly.
Put him on the room service tray. And
this goes outside the door. So if you just want
to. And he starts asking me about like what I do in the U.S. and I should have been like the guys at the bar the night before. I should have made up something, but I was like, I do comedy. And then he started to tell me how much he's a fan of Kevin Hart. And then he starts doing for 15 minutes nonstop Kevin Hart impressions.
While an I'm Irish packing, Kevin Hart impression.
While I'm packing up my bag and being like, oh my fucking God, I'm still drunk from last night. So I'm like, I'm not going to be rude. Like, yeah. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But he's laying in the bed, like with no shirt on, just like doing his own Kevin Hart, like full stand up bit. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, I've never seen his stand up. Oh. I can't, he wouldn't stop doing it.
He's like, no, but just imagine it.
Grace is rolling up her clothes. He's taking a full Curly Sue bubble bath.
Like,
I'm like opening the window and throwing a ladder down and like climbing out.
Meanwhile, he's like, and did you see the one with The Rock?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a fine one.
Oh, he was obsessed with him. Meanwhile, this is a 6'3" Irish kid, like couldn't be more Irish, doing like 4'8" Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. Oh my God, I can't.
It was so insane. Then finally he leaves and I was like, you have to leave first because my friend is going to be in lobby. Like, yes. I don't want to walk out together with you.
Also, like, I don't want you to stay here and bring up the charges.
No.
So what do we owe you?
Dead.
Oh my God.
Clinging situation. And then he finally left. And then I go into the lobby and I just see Mamrie slumped over, like full hat on, like,
sunglasses.
Literally, like she's a private investigator, like waiting for someone to come.
We got to the airport and I had to get us at 7 a.m.
I just looked at her. I was like, he just did 15 minutes of Kevin Hart. I'll talk to you about it in the taxi.
I'm like, there's only one heart in your life, girl.
Yeah.
My God.
It was going to be a crazy trip, though. We should have, because we landed, got picked up at the airport.
Oh, and someone spit on our car.
Well, what happened is we were walking.
You guys were leaving?
We were walking in Dublin. Oh, Ireland. That'll be great. Like, this will be cute. These drunk guys get off the plane because, like, you know, it's Ireland. So everyone's drunk at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Get off the plane. Grace has on like a knit hat with a little like
puffy
pom pom. And he comes over and he just touches it.
He just grabs it.
And I said, don't touch her.
Yeah, what the hell?
I said, don't touch her. And they like laughed it off, kept going. So then.
And they're like fumbling down, like holding each other up drunk at 8 a.m. Like, I've been drunk in an airport at 8 a.m., but I don't know if I've been like.
Or like going to my car to drive it.
A car. We don't know if it was their friend's car or one of their cars. It was
But then as we were leaving, one of them rolled down the window, stuck his head out. And hocked a loogie at us. We were like,
what the hell?
We were like, welcome to Ireland. We've been here 5 minutes.
On the window of the car service that we were in to go to the hotel.
And the driver's like, what's the matter? You didn't let him touch your pom-pom?
Driver goes, welcome to Ireland.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It was kind of the most like warm welcome, I think, that Ireland could have given.
But can I just tell
just
you guys, like,
a weekend of fluids.
But how cool is it that you can go to Ireland and do a show and you have tons of fans there, right?
It was really fun.
I can barely do a show in Burbank.
No, you just did your first live show.
Yeah, there was
how did it go?
40 people.
Heck
maybe.
Yeah, but in
maybe.
Los Angeles is the hardest
place.
Hard.
We never perform
That's
here.
Why we go overseas.
Oh.
We never
perform. LA is too cool.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
And they just, you have shit you could do every night. So it's like, you need to go somewhere where they're desperate.
There's
where
no
entertainment.
Yeah, where they don't normally have, like, when else will
I
you
need
be
to
out
to
in
where
Nebraska?
Where they're like, Burt Bacharach came here in 81. And you're the first, why am I still Irish?
I need to go to Antarctica. I need to be like, hey guys, I'm doing a full Antarctica tour.
I would love it.
I'll 100%. Perform on Glacier Number 7.
Ooh,
they would love it. It would sell out immediately.
But that's so rad that you guys do that. You guys are inspiring.
We just did a tour. We just finished one.
Yeah, we just finished a mini tour.
I saw you did it. Was it This Might Get Weird. Yeah, This Might Get Weird.
It was really fun.
It was super fun. We had our first proposal on stage.
Yeah, we helped someone get
proposed.
Someone
tried to marry you guys?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's been happening.
That would be unbelievable.
Both of you at the same time? Listen, I need you both to be my wives.
Yeah, exactly. No, we helped a couple.
They got married at your show?
DMs, and he was like, I want to propose to my boyfriend of 8 years. Will you help me? And I was like, yeah, I'll help. 100%. Two guys get engaged in Dallas, Texas. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so
but also
pulled it
so nerve wracking because we didn't meet them before the show. We didn't have like any other real plans other than the ones that we like made over a DM before the show started.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like hoping, one, that they were legit, and two, that like we wouldn't fuck it up for
or
them.
The guy doesn't say no, and then that's just like a weird fucking show. Well, this Might Get Weird. It's just got really weird. Yeah.
Totally.
The guy's like, I don't want to marry you, Steve. We fucked twice.
Right.
You're like, oh God, this is horrible.
Totally.
This has all been a bit.
Oh my God, that's amazing. So it went off without a hitch?
Well, and hopefully it will get hitched.
Yeah. It was great that he said yes.
I might officiate.
Aww, yeah.
We'll
really?
See.
It was real sweet. I can't believe we kept it a secret the whole mm-hmm. show. I was losing my mind about it the whole time.
And you're just like, they're getting married.
What? He's going to propose to you.
Yeah. Just scream. I freaked her out. She had a panic attack. It's okay. Like, don't worry.
Why?
Mommy spazzes. You know this. You're just, okay, she's used to it. Guys, we're taking a really quick break, and then we are going to be back with Grace Helbig and Mamrie Hart. Stay tuned.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back with Grace Helbig, Mamrie Hart, telling me crazy stories. They were like, we have no stories. And then they had 72 stories about Ireland getting spit on, first night stands. You guys are going to love this. This is amazing.
Oh, my God.
And so I had a question for you guys. Did you guys ever audition for SNL?
Grace did.
You did? I did. How did that go?
Not well.
Death. Did you do it?
I did it in New York when I was living there. Uh-huh. And it was like in 2010, 11, something like that.
Right.
And I think it was when my YouTube stuff started like getting a little bit bigger and Lonely Island was leaving the show. So I think they were trying to bring in people that had any sort of digital presence.
Yeah.
Because I didn't do impressions. Okay. I did one terrible Taylor Swift impression.
I love that.
And that was it. Yeah. And so I had to make a tape for them. And then they're like, okay, here are notes on your tape. We want you to do Taylor Swift, this other character. And then you have 3 minutes to fill.
Oh,
and
so
it's the most insane thing ever. But in hindsight, I am so glad I didn't get it because that whole world seems so
gnarly.
Heartbreaking.
Intense.
Yeah. My emotional state could not have survived that place. I would have been destroyed.
It would have broke you.
Yeah. I don't think I would have been pursuing entertainment after that. I think it would have really
pursuing sanity.
And I would have been pursuing a Prozac prescription.
Exactly. I'm gonna go home and be a second grade teacher. That's safe enough for me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
so did you get to Lorne? Did you do it?
Yeah,
in front of Lorne?
I did they don't give you, I don't know how it still works, but when I did it, they give you hardly any information. But my managers had enough clients that had done the audition before.
Yeah.
So they're like, here's what we know.
Yeah.
You could be there for a half hour. You could be there for 8 hours. So just be prepared.
Waiting. 8 hours?
Yeah.
Just waiting to just go waiting. And audition.
you know, like shitting your brains out.
I could never wait 8 hours.
No. And so they put you in one of the dressing rooms, and there's like, there's no cell phone service in the dressing room, so you can't even like talk to your friends or family or look at anything on the internet that's distracting. And I remember I had like no music on my iPhone at the time other than Adele, and so I listened to Rolling in the Deep on repeat, like in the dressing room.
Psych you up?
That was the only song I had that was semi not as sad as the rest of the songs on Adele's album.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so you just sit in a green room and you can hear everyone else around you being led into their green room.
Oh, I hate that.
But you can't, like, at least I found out from other people that have done it that they just walked around freely, but I'm so like play by the rules. Same. Like I don't want to do something wrong.
We also don't
want
to be like waiting and they come to get you and you're not there. Yeah, and they're like, well, this bitch is unprofessional. She can't be on live television.
Right. So I just fully sat in this like tiny, like it felt like 10 feet by 10 feet, like little room for a couple hours. And then I got a knock at the door that was like, okay, we're bringing you down to hair and makeup. And then you go on stage, like on the actual stage, and they say go, and you have 5 minutes in front of these backlit like 12 people
and you
in
can't
the room.
See anybody.
You can't see anyone's face. And I was warned like many times that they don't make any noise. They don't laugh.
They don't laugh or anything, even if you're good. Yeah,
if you get
I heard
guffaw,
that.
Fall like you're amazing. Mm-hmm. I like blacked out. Like I don't remember anything about it other than being so nervous.
Dude, I hate that.
It's the worst.
Do you get
like
your heart's like beating and pounding and you're like spiraling?
And you've been to a million auditions. Like it's the worst, especially when
still to this day.
Yeah, like as soon as I started, I was like, I'm not the right person for this. I'm doing this because this is like such an honor and very cool. Mm-hmm. But I already know that like I should not be the one doing this.
Yeah.
Like there are so many other people in New York and like everywhere else that like this is their bread and butter. Like this is they, you know, hone their like their characters and stuff like that. And that's just not, I felt like a fraud being there. I was like,
I feel that way every day in my life. Like,
the imposter syndrome is like unbelievable. Yeah, but at that point I was like, I just want to go home and internet. That's all I want to do right now. I don't want to do this. I actually don't want to do this. I hope someone else here that really wants to do this gets this. But then they put you back in your room for another like hour or so while you wait for everyone. And then you just hear these knocks on all the doors down the hallway and like everyone's let out of their green room and everyone's kind of looking around.
Auditioned.
I don't even remember. It was such a haze. I just remember that we all walked to the elevator and I didn't recognize anyone that was auditioning. So I think everyone was flown in from out of town.
Yeah.
And it was just Seth Meyers standing at the elevator, giving everyone a handshake, thanking them so much for coming and doing this. And he knows how hard it is. And I was like, this is the most like gentleman, high quality character thing. Yeah, that I
love him. Have you? So other than that, you've met him. He's cool. Seems cool.
I've never met him other than that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was so one of those like things that you remember. They're like, you're a good dude. This is a very cool thing. You don't have to do this right now, but you've been through this process, and so it's very cool that you're actually saying to all these nervous, like, early 20 somethings that they're doing a great job. It was really encouraging.
Wow.
It was really sweet.
Do you audition much? Do you get
nervous?
You
know what? Well, recently, yes, because I was on a higher dose of a medication that kind of kept me calm. And then I recently was like, you know what? I don't want to be on fucking drugs my whole life. And I lowered myself down to a very small amount, which is not enough. My brain's like, meep, meep, we need more serotonin. Meep. And so my brain now, I spaz very easily. I have anxiety very easily. So I do audition and I go in there and I do well, but I am not present
in
my brain.
It's a dream.
Not even close.
That I have to go, if I ever book anything, it's like, I auditioned for that? I don't even remember.
Truly.
Like, do you ever feel like you just leave your body?
Yeah,
100%. And your body's just like, rrr, 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 and you're like doing all the things that you're supposed to do, but you're not there.
Oh, 100%. That happens to me when I'm walking, and I'm like, can you believe these legs are just doing that? How are they still going?
How am I allowed to have a car?
That's the weird thing, isn't it?
Oh, that's the worst. In a car when you're like, so this is a death machine that I'm in charge of at 70 miles per hour.
I get freaked out when I'm driving, too. Yeah. I got freaked out driving here. I tried some new vitamin this morning called Adrenaplex.
Ooh,
as they gave
do?
Me at Bristol Farms because I'm tired all the time. It's like the anxiety, whatever, tiring.
Yeah.
So I go to see this girl at Bristol Farms and she's like, I treat her like she's a psychiatrist. And she's literally got four nose piercings, purple hair. And I'm like, what do you suggest? Like the last person I should be asking. So she's like, oh, there's this stuff called Adrenaplex that people seem to really like. Like, this is how she talks. Yeah. And she's like, like I take two of these a day and like, I mean, I make it through my day without coffee or anything because I'm like real sensitive to coffee, you know, like, and I was like, oh, me too.
I love this.
So I try this thing And it has all kinds of weird shit in it. It's like DHEA and L-tyrosine and all kinds of weird things that are supposed to like make you feel good. But I definitely feel like I'm not in my body right now. So I'm just like,
Let's put you under hot lights.
I'm interviewing you guys, but I'm sitting in the corner over there just being like,
look at her go.
Yeah, she's doing great. Isn't that weird though?
Yeah.
I fucking hate auditioning. And I feel like I never book anything anyway.
I haven't booked anything in like 6 years, 7 years. Which sucks too, because it was the first audition I went out for in LA I booked.
That's awesome.
It was like a guest star on Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
That was
my first audition.
Forgot about that.
And then I haven't booked anything since.
So like what literally a tease. Yeah.
But you guys have been so successful. I mean, you had your show on E, you just even booking like fucking guest star on a show is rad. Like that's amazing.
Yeah,
you know?
I've kind of reserved myself to like I'm only gonna get to act if I write it myself.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, one of those.
I don't know why though, because it's like you guys are so talented and I look at you and I'm like, you know, I don't get why Ryan Murphy or somebody doesn't just call bring bring hello.
Do you know him? I've seen their stuff
and I wish I did.
However, I will tell you one thing that does help with auditions is I have an audition coach that she would love.
Oh yeah.
Because I've only been like three times, but he has a like dogs, cats, a pig, macaws.
I'd get nothing done.
And a possum.
I'd be like, okay, let me pet all the animals.
And a possum named Celine Dion.
Stop.
Yes.
It's bonkers.
I will go in there and we'll rehearse the lines and he'll have like the, you know, the French doors closed and a pig, Penelope, will bust through.
Stop.
And so he says, he's like, if you cannot be distracted by a 200 pound pig busting in here,
then you can do any audition.
You can handle any producer in a room.
Wow. Yeah. Has he changed it for you? Like, has he changed the game for you? Like,
no,
you can...
I've only done it a couple times. I do it so inconsistently.
Same.
It's like, you're never going to be good at a sport if you play it three times a year.
I mean,
you know?
I've done all the classes and I've done all of this and that. I've spent so much money and I'm like, you know what? At this point, like, I know I'm okay. I've filmed myself enough. I've showed my agents. They're like, you're great. You know, nothing to do. So it's like, you know, I don't know. I sometimes feel like it's like you're too known. You know what I mean? Like people
For being as yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Like I have a friend who's a director and I was like, you know, I don't get it. Like, why don't we, like I get cast and stuff. And he goes, well, because people will be watching it and they'll go, oh, that's Brittany Furlan. Like, you know, instead of going like, oh, that's the character. But,
right. And it's a weird compliment in a way.
Yeah.
But you're like, but I still want to be cast and so that my efforts don't go to waste.
Exactly. It's like, okay.
But even like we were talking about a movie the other day that I saw that was about a talking hedgehog starring Dean Cain and Tara Reid. And I'm like, I'll be in that.
I will take fucking anything.
Yes.
This is a PSA to anyone that thinks we're too big for their project. Yeah.
We will play
hedgehogs.
We'll do it. Okay.
I wanted to start, and I still think we should. I want to start a petition online.
Okay.
For me to be in a Lifetime Christmas movie with Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah. I could see you playing
and do
your sister.
Some type of like heart to heart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because people would be like, are you guys related just because of the last name. I want to be in a terrible fucking movie. Last year she was
like
in
that
one
can happen.
That was about a nutcracker coming to life and her falling in love with him, and it was called A Very Nutty Christmas, and I made Chip watch it on Christmas Day. So I want to be in like an epically bad Hallmark
movie. Well, you
know
how that happens is you have to write it
and
sell it to Lifetime and then
but
star
I feel like
it.
You could easily do
we
that.
Could like turd that out at Sweet Greens after this.
You totally could 100% just eat between the quinoa salad and the
absolutely
yeah you'll just be good. You just get that shit done, send it on the way, all in 1 hour.
On
I guarantee
it.
Oh, I could see you playing her sister
thanks
for sure.
So Melissa I wanted to Joan say Hart it on Brittany's podcast so more people will say
yes, because she's been telling our audience
out
and they are sick of hearing it. They're like, we've done all we can. We tweeted at her.
Take
that's
a
all
fucking acting class.
If anyone knows Melissa Joan Hart who's listening to this, hit her up and
huge
say,
huge fan.
Mamrie Hart and her need to get together.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great.
And a movie about sisters called Heart to Heart.
Yes.
That could be cute.
Yeah, you can see the poster.
I could too, yeah. And you guys look very similar, kind of.
I've never heard
I
that
like
ever.
I want, the blue I mean, eyes, maybe. That's all I'm seeing.
We're both Caucasians.
You're both Caucasians with blue eyes and
actresses.
She can
dye her hair red for it.
Yes, absolutely.
Where is she now? What is she doing? Do we know? Clarissa Explains It All is my...
Oh, the best.
I love
like,
it.
That's a... like I just grew up on that.
It was the greatest.
Yeah.
She was so weird and great. The
wait,
early
didn't
Nickelodeon.
They bring Sabrina the Teenage Witch back?
Yeah, but it's like a scary one.
Oh.
Oh.
Is she in it?
It's like on CW. It's like they Riverdale'd it.
Oh.
No. Okay. It's like the girl from...
Oh,
something
Sabrina. Oh, isn't it on Netflix too? Shernan Kipna or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't know something if it was like CW.
I met her.
That.
She's cool. That's so weird. Yeah. I met her at Coachella. I was like, you look familiar. It's one of those things. You look familiar. Do I know you? And
right.
She's on a fucking show. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Celebrity. I watched you. You're Sabrina. Okay.
I did that once to Claire Danes on the subway.
Did you really?
I made eye contact with her and I went, oh, hey. Claire Danes. I still thought she was a friend of mine. Or like a regular at the bar I worked at.
And
or
then
something.
It processes and you're like, oh, fuck. God damn it. I know that's happened to me a lot too. It's so embarrassing.
Oh my God. Nina is just
she's
fully.
A little croissant.
I bore her.
She's like, guys, not enough drug stories.
She's so over my life. Though she does this every episode, no matter how intriguing the story is. She just goes to sleep.
I can see that. I mean, this is so soft. This tablecloth.
It's
table
like perfect.
Get
it's
it.
Like a big bed for her to relax on. I love it.
So what's the wildest story that's been told on this? We're promoting your archives.
Yeah. The wildest story.
Or how often do people tell stories and retroactively are like, you can't air that?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know what?
One.
We've never had that. We share everything. Oh, cool. I mean, my husband's told some crazy stories on here, which is insane because he's had a crazy life.
Yeah.
Machine Gun Kelly told a story about a girl who came over his house, begged him to fuck her in the ass, and then he fucked her in the ass, and he smelled something weird, and then he went to the shower, and when he went back into the room, he saw her throw something really quickly, and then they got back in bed and went to sleep that night, and then the next morning she was gone, and he smelled something really bad in his room, and he was like, what the fuck? And you like already kind of know where this is going, right? So he smells something really bad, and he's looking around, and he's like, what the fuck is that smell coming from? And he's searching his whole room, and it's just fucking nasty. And then he finds a backpack in the corner, and he opens it up, and there's a fucking turd in it. So she shit in the bed after he fucked her in the ass and threw the turd in a backpack and then threw it in the corner.
Oh, my God. I mean,
who does that? I need you guys to top that right now. By the way,
don't kidding. Fuck your fans.
I've got no turd in the backpack stories. Oh my God,
that's intense, I mean, right?
That's a lot. I will
there's
say,
so many levels.
Did you guys ever do edibles or try ayahuasca or
I've never done ayahuasca. Just like mushrooms and.
How did that make you feel? Do you trip out or do you?
I haven't done mushrooms in forever, but I have to cross buzz it because I'm too in my head. So,
what does that mean?
I mean, I have a backpack with vodka in it.
Yeah,
because I'm like, if I start to freak out, I can just get wasted and black out.
Wow. I didn't know that was like a
break this glass. Anyone that's curious about doing mushrooms, don't take that as a factual thing that will happen.
No. Oh my God.
Like, loves it and it's like is good in nature and things.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I feel like I get way too paranoid. I couldn't handle it.
Yeah, it's a weird. I can't do it. Like I have friends that have like done it in New York and walked around the city, and I'm like, you couldn't pay me enough to do that. Like I need to be with like one person that I trust in a place that's like sequestered
and
off
peaceful.
And like safe, and I know that I can go and be by myself or like be outside at any point. I can't do the like let's just walk around and see what happens.
What does it feel like? Like, if you had
mushrooms?
To describe it, yeah.
It feels like you're in, like, a dream state. Like, it feels, it's hard to, like, describe. It's just very visually stimulating.
For me, I turn into, like, everything becomes a little, you know, like, in the movie The Beach, when things become a video game?
Yeah.
It becomes like that to me. Like, I only did it a handful of times in my early 20s, but my friends would call me the captain. Because, like, once it hit at a certain place, I'd, like, march in place and be like, well, we need an adventure.
Oh, my
God. So I become, like, it's our mission to get to the other side of the house.
Like, all right, no more mushrooms. They're like, it's weird. We just gave her regular mushrooms from Ralph's, and she's still breaking out.
She is going for
crazy.
It.
That's crazy. I'm too scared to try any of that stuff, you know?
It's scary. And you, I think, have to go because I think we're really similar. I get very paranoid. Like, if I smoke in front of, like, a group of people that I don't know, I'm like, I have to go home now.
Yeah.
I don't. Mm-hmm. I know I'll be fine, but I'm too now worked up in my head that I might be weird to these people.
Yes.
And so my anxiety is now conquering any, like, goodness that this drug would give me right now.
Like, you could be sitting there totally normal, but you think your face is like...
And I'm like, right, exactly. I stopped smoking weed for a long time.
Like, you're like, fuck, was my face just doing this?
Yeah. I stopped smoking for a long time, like after the first few years in New York, is because I would smoke with a group of friends that I trust and love, but I would constantly think I was pissing my pants. Constantly. And so we'd all be sitting around in a circle, like telling stories and jokes, and I'd have to like touch my pants every now and then just to check.
Like, it feels warm. Do I pee?
I constantly. And then I was like, this is not fun for me.
Because our brain's weird.
They're so, yeah, because I conditioned myself to now when I smoke, I'm already worried that that's going to be my thought and my physical, like,
But you've
problem.
Never pissed your pants.
No, never. But it's just a sensation. I feel like it just heightens, like, what's the worst thing that could happen right now
Peeing
to embarrass
pants.
Myself? And so, yeah, my brain just hyper focuses on that.
You're going to pee yourself. Right. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So now it's way better. But I think it was, like, also just the social anxiety of being around a bunch of people that were so comfortable with it.
Well, I don't understand folks that can get stoned and be on stage.
Oh, like, I had to do the high diary show.
I see. I've said no to that.
I did that, but I didn't do it high.
See, I've said no to that and to Doug Benson, like all of those
Doug Benson's
shows.
Always, when it comes to that, I'm like, I can't.
Excuse me, that weed was like Snoop Dogg's weed. Like,
so you performed stoned?
15 minutes, and I was high as a fucking kite.
That is a nightmare to me.
Have you seen any video? Like,
no, but they did. I did great.
Did people laugh?
Okay, yeah, great. I did great.
Then that's awesome.
But I don't remember it. But people were laughing so hard, and I think it was because I was so fucked up. Like, they were like, this girl's going to fall off the stage and die. Like, because I don't do any drugs. I can't. Yeah. I'm already fucking psychotic. So, like, I try not to push the boundary. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to do drugs to be crazy. I'm already crazy. And so I get to the show and I was like, this is like really mellow weed, right? And Lindsay, who runs the show, she's like, yeah, totally. It's
But Lindsay's a stoner.
She's a fucking stoner. Don't so ever let a stoner tell you that the weed's mellow. Because that for them is like, mellow weed for them is like totally different.
It's like a Jolly Rancher.
Exactly. And so I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, I'll just get up there. She rolls me a fatty, like a fat fucking blunt, like a so thick, like a slug. And she's like, yeah, dude, I'll just leave it on the podium and you can just puff that thing through the whole thing.
This
and
is
I was
my
like,
living nightmare.
No.
I was like, cool, dude. Yeah, like I'm down. Right. Like I'm trying to be cool, fit in. Because everyone else did it. So I was like, oh, I can fucking do this.
Yeah, like
you know?
Self-imposed peer pressure.
Yeah. Like you see everyone else rocking it and you're like, I'm not trying to be like a pussy. I'm not scared, you know? So I go up there and I fucking see this fatty and I'm like, and it smelled strong. So I was like,
oh, no.
And then I just lit it and I took a fucking huge.
No! It's always great when you're exhaling and thinking, this is a big mistake. It's still coming out of my mouth. What the fuck?
Immediately, I was like, that was way too big of a hit. And it hit me in like 3 seconds. Ugh. I was like, boom, I'm fucking stoned. And then I just had to. And then for some reason, you just can't. Yeah, I couldn't break the cycle. Like, right. I was holding it, and I was, like, awkward to put it down.
I bet you looked cool as hell, though.
I think they sent me some pictures. I looked like I fucking was stoned for sure. Yeah. I was just like, it was like every photo of Janis Joplin ever. Just
a little Mr. Burns.
For real, totally Mr. Burns. My chin, totally. Like, I remember I was just so fucked up, and everyone was laughing so hard, and I just remember being like, hey, and everyone's face is, but I was
they turn into clowns.
But it was very powerful weed.
Yeah.
Like, very powerful.
I can't
imagine doing mushrooms or ayahuasca or any of that.
That's a whole different category.
Forget it.
It's scary,
no.
Right?
No, and it's like, I don't need any revelations.
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
Yeah, every day's a revelation.
I don't need to shit my pants in front of a group of people.
Right.
Which is what happens.
Yeah, they're like, you throw up, you shit yourself.
Constantly.
Yeah. And then they're like, I saw the light. I'm like, yeah, maybe because you shit your fucking brains out.
Right, you're dehydrated.
Yeah.
You've been in the Amazon for 4 days.
And there was no Powerade around. You just fucking, of course you saw the light.
Oh my God.
And then there's kids dying doing it too.
Ayahuasca?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
there's
that.
Like, yeah, there's like a couple, I've seen a couple reports of that. Like some random kids going on the, you know, the shaman.
Yeah.
They sell it as like
a
shaman journey.
Yeah.
And you go to God knows where in the middle of a rainforest where there's no help. And these kids, you know, they do it, and some of them fucking die because they just don't. There's been a couple things of that.
No,
also the vaping.
There's no like revelation, clear moment, vision that is worth
nothing.
Traveling to a place without plumbing.
You're gonna die one day and get to experience that. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Like that's what your brain releases DMT, and that'll happen before you die, and you'll get all the ayahuasca experience you need. You need
I'd rather have like one weed gummy and freak out watching Planet Earth. Which is what we do.
Which happens too often.
The last time I got too stoned and watched it, there was the dolphin part, which I recommend rewatching.
Oh,
stoned.
Oh. Planet Earth. Tommy watches that with me.
They just sound like farts.
Dude,
it sounds like
when they talk to each other, just.
Yeah,
like
it's so.
Get stoned and watch the dolphin part of Planet Earth.
Yeah,
like, yeah, totally.
It really is. It's impossible to unhear it that way. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's just a symphony of wet farts back and forth. And it's so, it is the funniest thing that you'll ever watch.
It kills me. Yeah, it was that same time we got stoned. I got stoned to watch Planet Earth that like the farts happened. And then it was like the mating dances of birds.
Those are weird. The ones where they're like going all crazy and shit. And then the bitch is not improved by the dance. And she's like, no, I don't want to fuck that bird. His dance wasn't good enough.
And she's matronly.
Yeah.
Like I watched it and I was like, all these birds are gay.
I mean, who dances to get a girl?
This is Drag Race.
Yeah.
In the rainforest.
Yeah.
They did a reveal. Yeah. So I'm like, that's not a skirt. That's my neck.
Watch what this can do. And it inflates to make a hole.
It was crazy. Guys, you have to watch this Planet Earth on Netflix. If you have Netflix, or just steal your neighbor's password, it's amazing. It's actually so good. You guys are amazing. This has been so fun for being here. I love you guys. We need to all smoke weed and have an anxiety attack together. It'd be great.
Yeah, that's our
trip. We can have a mutual panic attack. It'll be great. And Nina loves you, clearly.
I mean, this regal beast. I can't get over it. She needs to be on some type of currency.
Right?
I know.
Yes. Like, or on a box of something. Like, right? I'm like a box of, like, you know, like pedigree.
Milk bones.
Like, I try to. She's 100,000 followers on Instagram. I'm like, give her a job, guys.
How does she not have brand deals out the butt?
She should have so many brand deals, right? But, you know, it is what it is. There's a lot of dogs, a lot of cute dogs.
It's
just as hard in the dog world as it is in the human world.
It's like, I relate to all of your struggles for success.
Nina, both of us just fucking trying to get auditions, just failing miserably.
Meanwhile, Nina has an Audible deal.
Yeah, like, watch Nina actually book a show before I do. They're like, they call me. I think it's for me. They're like, we actually want to book your dog.
We have an offer only.
Yeah, I'll take it. Have to audition. Stage mom. Yeah,
I love that. Well, guys, where can everybody follow you? I already know, so just go ahead and plug it.
Yeah, well, we have a podcast together called This Might Get Weird. Comes out every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It's me and Grace just shooting the shit and catching up and saying what weird adventures we got into that week. Mm-hmm. Super fun. And then you can find me at Mametown on socials.
And I'm at Grace Helbig on all the socials.
And you guys know them already, and I will be tagging them and plugging them. And thank you so much, everyone who's been listening and leaving great reviews. And I read all of them, even the ones that are hurtful. And I love it. Even the hate, I'm happy to have you here. Even if you're here to hate me, it's so good.
At least you're here.
And everyone's been really, for the most part, really nice. And make sure to stay tuned next week on Worst First. Yay!
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.